Good morning, everyone. Now for today's scripture reading coming from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side. While your servant was asleep, she put him by my breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born." The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son, and the dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours, and the living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says my son is alive, and your son is dead. Well, the other one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe, because they saw that he had the wisdom from God to administer justice. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message being presented by our youth group, Isabel Thalman and Jason Harshman, titled "A Mother's Love."
Good morning, church. Mother's Day in the United States was officially founded by Anna Jarvis. Her mother always said that there should be a day to honor women, a celebration of their contributions in the world. Anna Jarvis never forgot her mother's words, and when her mother died in 1905, she decided to fulfill them. She began by organizing a celebration at a Methodist church in West Virginia. Carnations were part of the celebration because they were her mother's favorite flower. To Anna, carnations were a pure symbol of a mother's undying love. Can all of the members of the youth group, I think, is everyone up here? Come up here in front of the stage. And all of us grab a carnation. And give them to your mother. Now, can all the women who are a mother or a mother figure in someone's life please raise your hand? Thank you. Today's sermon is going to be a little bit different because we are not only here to worship together, but we are also here today to honor our mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. But before we continue, I just want to acknowledge that Mother's Day is not always festive for all women. It can be a very difficult time for some. Many women who would love to become a mother, but for some reason could not. Some people didn't have the best relationship with their mom or maybe their child, while others may still feel the raw pain of when they lost their mom or child. To these folks, Mother's Day may be difficult, and we pray that despite these challenges, that this will be a special day for them. Now, Jason is going to present some fun information on what a mother is.
Mic check.
A fifth grade science teacher gave the class a lesson on magnets. The next day, he recapped the lesson and said, "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" The kids answered, "A mother." A drill sergeant was frustrated in his efforts to make a soldier out of a certain recruit. The trainee lagged behind on marches, used any excuse to call in sick, grumbled constantly about the food, and never made his cot properly. But one day, a noticeable change took place in the young man's attitude. When someone asked the drill sergeant to do, he attributed the soldier's change in attitude. The drill sergeant explained, "Threats and punishment didn't work with this guy, so I had to resort to the ultimate weapon. I called his mother." As the saying goes, you can fool some people all the time, and of all the people of some of the time, but you can't fool your mother. Said by Anonymous, last year on Mother's Day, the whole family got together for a big dinner, and afterward, when Mom started to clean up, I said to her, "Don't bother with those dishes, Mom. Today is Mother's Day. You can always do them tomorrow." To get ready for this message, each one of us in the youth group were asked to write a very short note on what a mother is. Here are the responses. A mother is a caregiver. Mothers are special because they work around the clock without any complaints to keep their children happy. They curb their desires to fulfill the child's desire and do everything for their family. A mother is not only a parent, but a mother is someone who guides their son or daughter to greatness. A mother is a person who cares for their child. A mother is someone who is a parent figure to one who may not have one. A mother is not always a blood relative, but they are the ones who make us who we are. To me, a mother is someone who loves you unconditionally and puts your needs before theirs. To me, a mother is a strong leader and inspirational figure for her children. To me, a mother is someone you can go to with your problems and not be judged for any of them. A mother will comfort, protect, and love no matter what. A mother is any female figure in someone's life who cares a lot about you and whose materialistic-like love is unconditional. A mother is a person you can look to for wisdom and advice, and they will always have your back. Thank you, mothers. And now, two fun facts about the impact mothers have on their children. Out of the 69 kings of France, only three were really loved by their subjects, and these three were the only ones reared by their mothers and not by tutors or guardians. There is a great saying from Napoleon that goes like this: "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." The last thing I have for you before I turn it back to Isabel is a short story by Emma Bombeck titled, "When God Created Mothers." When the good Lord created mothers, he was into the sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared to him and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." The Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair. And six pair of hands." The angel shook her head slowly and said, "Six pair of hands? No way." It's not the hands that are causing me the problems, said the Lord. It's the three pair of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are your kids doing in there? When she already knows, another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know, and of course the ones in front that look at a child when she goofs up and say, I understand and I love you, without so much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already, I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, but she can also reason and compromise. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek of the mother. There's a leak, she pronounced. I told you that you were trying to put too much in this model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What is it for? Asked the angel. The Lord replied, it's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. You're a genius, shouted the angel. With a somber look on his face, the Lord said, I didn't put it there. Now Isabel will continue today's message on a mother's love.
Before I get into the biblical part of today's message, I have another point to ponder for Mother's Day. A little girl was sitting and watching her mom do the dishes, and suddenly she noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in her brunette head. The little girl asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mommy?" The mother replied smugly, "Well, every time you make me worry, one of my hairs turned white." The little girl thought for a moment and said, "So how come all of Grandma's hair is white?" As Jason mentioned before, mothers come in all shapes and sizes. They don't have to be biological or even legally related through adoption or other means to be a mother figure in our life. Let's look at a couple examples from the Bible. First, Jesus' mother Mary and her son John. In the book of John, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So even though Mary had other children that could have taken care of her, Jesus chose to assign this mother-son bond between these two people that he loved so much. The second one is Moses. Moses was fortunate enough to have two mothers, both of whom demonstrated great love for him. The first, Jochebed, who knew that giving him up would give him a better life, and then the Pharaoh's daughter who had adopted him, who loved him so much that she taught Moses his people's faith, which was against the law. The third one is the baby in the King Solomon scripture. This is the story that was read as part of our scripture reading for the day, where the true mother was willing to give up the child she loves rather than see any harm come to him. The love between a mother and a child can be really one of the most incredible blessings we could ever receive. I would like to close by reading a poem by an unknown author entitled My Mother. Your love, I know I've seen your tears. You've given me my life. You have walked me through days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up your needs and often rest as you viewed eternally. To do his will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You have shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon to pass. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. May the Lord bless you and keep you all on this special day. Amen. We can go down because next is communion.
Great job. And Isabel, you look very classy today. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.